She fought for freedom. She secured autonomy. She built a sovereign people in the mountains. But she never signed the treaty. Not with pen. Not with promise. Not with peace. And to this day, that missing signature echoes louder than all the words inked on colonial paper. This insight is about a document, a fragile piece of parchment from 1739 between the British and the Maroons. But more than that, it's about a woman who understood that true freedom doesn't need permission, that paper cannot hold the weight of spirit, and that sovereignty is not something granted, it's something lived. This is the story of why Queen Nanny never signed the treaty, and why that still matters today. Welcome to the History of the Caribbean audiobook. If you haven't already, we invite you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss a story. Today, we're honored to bring you The Treaty She Never Signed and Why That Matters Today. Get ready to immerse yourself in a powerful narrative that goes beyond music into legacy, resistance, and roots. Because here, our mission is simple: to keep our culture alive, one story at a time. In 1739, the British Empire, bloodied and frustrated, agreed to sign peace treaties with the Maroons. Years of war in the hills had taken their toll. The Empire had muskets, soldiers, and maps. The Maroons had fog, fire, and faith. And they were winning. So the British made offers. Land, autonomy, trade, recognition. In exchange, peace, loyalty, the return of runaway slaves. Silence. It was the Empire's oldest trick. When you can't beat them, bind them. Two treaties were signed, one with the Leeward Maroons under Cudjoe, and another with the Windward Maroons. The British needed signatures, a symbol of agreement, a sense of submission. But Nanny didn't sign. Her name never appears. Her seal never pressed wax. Her hand never touched the contract. Some say it was politics. That Nanny, wise to the tricks of Babylon, refused to bind her people in ink. Others say she was present, but silent. That she allowed the treaty to pass, strategically, without ever owning it. Still others say she never showed up at all. Because why meet a man who only speaks in chains? But here's what we do know. From that moment on, the British never fully trusted her. Even as they honored other agreements, they kept an eye on Moortown. They knew Nanny was still sovereign, still wild in their eyes, still unconquered. Because without a signature, she was untethered. And that terrified them. So why does it matter now? Because treaties are how empires control memory. They use documents to define legitimacy, to shape history, to write themselves as the grantors of freedom, never the takers of it. And Nanny's refusal? It rewrote that script. She said, "I don't need your paper. I have my land. I have my people. I have the mountain. And I have truth." Today, some critics still argue. Why didn't she just sign? Was it pride? Was it short-sighted? Would it have helped to put her name there? But what they don't understand is this. Nanny wasn't negotiating freedom. She was defending it. She didn't see herself as a subject needing rights. She saw herself as a nation. And nations don't ask for permission. They exist. Even now, legal scholars debate the treaties. Are they still valid? Can they be enforced? Do they give modern Maroon communities land rights? Self-governance. But what's always left unspoken is this. The most powerful Maroon leader in history never signed them. Because she didn't trust a system built to erase her. Because she knew that no ink could protect what spirit had already claimed. That missing signature? It's not absence. It's a statement. It says, "I will not be tamed. I will not be translated. I will not be documented to death." Think of how many of our ancestors were documented without consent. On ships. In slave ledgers. In property rolls. They were signed into history not as people, but as product. And Nanny, she refused to let her name be part of that same tradition. So what do we carry from this? We carry the power of intentional absence. We learn that not all silence is weakness. That sometimes not signing is the loudest scream of sovereignty. And that freedom is not authenticated by bureaucracy. It is embodied. She walked away from the treaty table. Not because she had no interest in peace, but because she had no interest in chains wrapped in paper. She knew her people already had what they needed. The hills, the drum, the land, the memory, the flame, and none of those things need signatures. They need guardians. So today, when we speak her name, let us remember, she wasn't forgotten in the treaty. She chose to stand apart, not in rebellion, but in reverence, because she knew, True freedom doesn't fit in margins, and sovereignty doesn't come with a signature.